You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. Self-awareness is defined as conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires. When looking at this statement from a business or career perspective, this sounds rather soft, something relevant if your professional aspirations are to be a psychologist or HR professional, but certainly not as critical as the hard stuff like experience, skills, or credentials after your name, right? Wrong. As a former critical care paramedic turned entrepreneur and leader, I have learned that in the hierarchy of factors most important to career success, self-awareness would rank number one. I wish I knew this at age 22. Why? Because regardless of your profession or industry, your career success rides on your ability to lead, manage, and get along with your colleagues. Executing this requires exceptional interpersonal skills, the foundation of which is very personal. It's you. Self-awareness is the essential building block to develop this critical competency. For example, can you objectively answer the few key self-awareness questions below? And as importantly, have your colleagues, managers, or team members respond to these same questions about you in a way that matches your responses? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What triggers stress in you? And how do you cope with these stresses? How do you manage conflict? What inspires you? What derails you? How do you respond to authority? How do you deal with criticism? And what's your communication style? Achieving self-awareness is challenging and a lifelong effort. The earlier you start to work on yourself, the more self-aware you'll become, and the more likely that the powers that be will recognize your leadership potential and accelerate your career journey. My guest today is Jens Johnson. Jens Johnson is the CEO and founder of Jens Johnson Inspires, and she's the managing director for Dallas, Texas chapter of eWomen Network and a top leader with Nerium International. Jen's passion is helping people move into action and achieve next level growth. She has over 25 years of experience in program development training, professional speaking, leading successful teams, and creating positive results. Jen's passion to excellence, success, and helping people achieve has driven her to excel in every industry, company, and organization she has associated with. Jens holds a master's degree in training and development and a bachelor's degree in health and wellness, which speaks to who she is at the core, a professional focused on the complete development of a person, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and professionally. Jens is a wife, mother of five, and a successful entrepreneur and philanthropist. Along with her professional career, she has spent her entire life serving others. She has served on numerous nonprofit boards, donates her time and resources to multiple organizations, is the Dallas wall captain for the International Day of Happiness, and she's a big for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Jens is the essence of hard work, determination, and fun. As a mindset success coach, her primary focus is helping people learn how to think accurately. Jens believes everything starts in our mind. The quality and success of our lives is directly related to the quality and accuracy of our thoughts. To raise a powerful girl, we must be a powerful woman. And it's our example that the girls in our lives will follow. We can say anything we want to say, but if our actions don't align with what we speak, the girls in our lives will not do what we are instructing. They will do what we do. And science has proven this over and over again with multiple studies. In her opinion, this is the greatest thing that we can do to ensure we raise powerful girls that turn into powerful women. All right. Well, welcome, Jens. It's so great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You write on your website, you like to help people think accurately. What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you, Maria, thank you first so much for having me on the podcast today. I am so super excited about your topic, and I'm so super excited about making a positive impact on our girls that are going to turn into amazing, powerful women, which in turn is going to turn into people having such a more impactful life. And that's really what it's all about. So when I talk about accurate thinking, believe it or not, there's a lot of us out here that for whatever reason, we are just not looking at things with a clear lens. You know, people's lenses are tainted and they're cloudy, and sometimes we're not even able to see the big picture. We can only see a little bit right in front of us. And we all need help because we all have blind spots. There's not one of us that are perfect. So I like to help with people and help people really look at things accurately, because if you look at things accurately, then you can make the right decisions on the actions. A lot of times the reason we are spinning our wheels or we're in the same place or we're stuck in life is because we're still looking at the same situation with the same lenses without any additional help or insight, and we continue to do the same thing. And of course, as we all know, that's one definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over and over, expecting different results. Well, a lot of reasons why we do the same things over and over is because our vision and the way we're looking at something doesn't change unless we have other people step in and help us with that.
Yeah, so I love that. And when you're talking about looking at the world through tainted lenses, I can kind of remember being a teenager and remembering that like everything was going wrong in my world, right? That you would focus on this one little thing and it was like the world was over. You know, some girl was talking about me in this way and I can never go to school again and show my face. And, you know, that's such a common problem that happens for girls. Do you have any advice that you can give to, you know, moms or parents that are dealing with that to try to kind of almost like reboot her mindset and help her come out of this crisis thinking mode to realize this is not really what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I think it's really important that parents remember that children's brains are really not developed till close to age 25. Wow. And you know, what's amazing about that is a lot of times when your girls get into the adolescent years and then even right beyond, their bodies start to change. They start to look like little young adults because they are, but their minds, their brains are not fully developed. So I think it's important for parents to remember that first and foremost. Then secondly, just like you said, I think it's really important that we put ourselves in the place of our children. Just like you said, remember back when you were 8 or when you were 10 or when you were 13 or when you were in high school. Remember back what those struggles were. Remember how skewed your lenses and your perceptions and perspectives were at that time. And even, of course, as adults have that as well. So I think the more calm that we can be as parents, you know, believe it or not, what children want is they want structure. And really, it's the same thing that as people want. People want leaders. Nothing in life happens without a leader. And one of our most important leadership roles, if not, in my opinion, the most important leadership role, is our role as a parent. So we're the leader. We've got to remain calm. We have to provide accurate thinking and the accurate vision and accurate picture. And we need to, like you said, you know, just reboot them. And a lot of times what I've done in my personal experience is I've shared a story from my childhood that might apply to what they're going through. Because at the end of the day, when a child, whatever age they are, is in a crisis that they believe is a crisis, they truly do believe it's a crisis. But all they want to know is that it's going to get better. And when you can have that calm and loving conversation and real, you know, we have to be real and authentic and share something similar and then explain the outcome, and they can look at you tangibly and say, well, gosh, everything is okay with my mom. Everything's okay with my dad. Then it gives them that reassurance. But, you know, it's scary. It can be hard and scary to be a child. And I think sometimes when we become adults, we just forget that. We forget what they're going through.
Yeah, I agree with that so much. And what I love also that you said about sharing the story is I think it's so important for parents to have these open conversations with their children where they share the same struggles that they had, so that children don't feel alone. And it's not about saying, well, I went through this as a kid, so you'll get through it and you'll be okay. It's about saying, I remember being in your shoes. I remember that I felt so sad and I felt scared and it really hurt my feelings and I felt like I had no friends or whatever it was. Really share those dark moments and say, I understand, I'm really sorry. And then start, let them grieve that process, feel that emotion, right? Because we shouldn't take that away from them. And then push forward. What can we do differently? How can we see this in a different way? Or how can we, you know, solve this problem that you're having together?
Right. Yes. And I think something that's so important is, you know, obviously, is we teach our kids. I mean, we teach our kids how to cope. And we teach our kids how to win. I think it's so important that we teach our kids these different type of really, I mean, skills that are not typically taught in schools. I mean, if our children aren't learning these skills in our home, or we as strong, powerful women aren't investing in other girls and teaching these skills, they're not getting it. But, you know, a personal story, I've got five kids and two are girls and three are boys. My family, came from a family of six children. I've got five siblings. There are three girls in our family, very close. My mother was a very strong, powerful woman, and she raised her three daughters in that manner. But, you know, I had a situation where of one of five of the children had a weight issue. The other ones, not at all. And you know, kind of how it works that way sometimes, right? So here's, I've got this, you know, just amazing, amazing child who their other siblings don't have issues with weight. You've got one that does. And obviously kids can be cruel. And at school, they're making fun, you know, they're calling names, and now you've got social media and they're doing things on social media. And I can remember having a very similar conversation to what you just brought up, to say, you know, it's not right, because that was one thing. It's, you know, kids will say it's not right, it's not fair. And they're correct. It's not right that somebody makes fun of you or bullies you, and it's not fair. But life isn't fair, and life will never be fair, and it's not about being fair. And after I listened and explained a similar situation, you know, I said, we can either do something about it or we cannot. And I'm a doer, and I know that action is what makes us feel better. So I said, go get your tennis shoes. And we went outside and we went for a walk. Run, jog, walk, run, jog. But it gave us an opportunity to even bond more. But in action for these kids is amazing time to put little nuggets in their brain. It's almost better if you can get them into some activity, whether you're going to go, you're going to cook a meal, whether you're going to get in a car and go for a ride, whether you're going to do a puzzle together, whether you're going to do some artwork together, but doing, involving them in an activity and then having that discussion continue during that activity is a phenomenal technique to use with kids. But you have to shape them by not just word, but also by deed as well.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny because I was just thinking about the other day, one of the techniques that I use when I'm having conversation, especially with my oldest, if you just sit down on the couch and you try to have this kind of deep conversation, it doesn't even have to be something serious, but asking a personal question or asking them to dream, it's almost like they have a hard time just sitting there and being able to relax and open up. But if we're walking outside with the dog, or if we're folding laundry, or if we're doing something physical with our hands, cooking, it's amazing how much more they open up and are able to have these conversations because they're doing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You kind of, you put them in, you put kind of put them on point where they get a little scared if they're, but when they're doing things, their brain is a lot more open.
Yeah. I love that. I really love that. So you say something that quality and success of our lives is directly related to the quality and success of our thoughts. Can you talk mm-hmm. more about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, here's what people, when you go through life, again, either somebody's teaching you these things or you have to, when you're an adult, learn them on your own. And one of the most important things I think as a parent is teaching your kids how to think accurately. And in order to be able to do that, obviously, as a parent, you have to be consciously working on that yourself. So our thoughts actually create the way we feel. So if we're feeling sad, it's because we're thinking sad thoughts. Our energy is created by our thoughts. So when somebody comes in and there's just a funky energy or a sad energy or upset energy or a worrisome energy, it's because that's what that person is thinking. And our thoughts actually create chemicals in our brain that goes to our pituitary gland that actually secretes those chemicals into our body to produce those feelings. Well, it's just vitally important that we realize that our results are related to how we think. If we think positively, we're going to be positive. If we think we can do something, we're going to do something. If we are thinking that we can't do something, we're not. If we're scared, it's a vicious cycle. And I think obviously for kids, because their brains aren't fully developed, number one, because they don't have the experience that adults have, number two, and because number three, they don't even cognitively understand what's going on in their brain and in their bodies, it's imperative that we as parents teach them. If they think they can do something, they can do it. That's all there is to it. You know, one of my most favorite stories is the story of Wilma Rudolph. And Wilma Rudolph was actually the first American to win a gold medal in the track and field Summer Olympics. And she actually won 5 gold medals, but she was born with congenital diseases that really left her in a state that she wasn't supposed to run or walk. I mean, the doctor said, she told her mother she wasn't going to be able to walk. She wasn't going to be able to run. She wasn't going to be able to do these things that other kids were doing. But her mom said, yes, she will. And she just kept saying that to her daughter over and over and over and over again. And our children are like mirrors to what we believe. If we believe they can do something, they believe they can do it. They borrow our belief. And it was the belief of her mother and her mother continuing to tell her, yes, you will, yes, you will, yes, you will, that she believed that. And of course she did. So the most important thing is that we as parents believe that our children are limitless, that we as parents believe that our children can achieve and do whatever it is that they want to do and they need to do, because we have to believe it first, because they're looking at us. And this is what's so amazing is when you're a stressed out parent and you have any negative thoughts towards your children, for whatever reason, they pick up on every single one of those negative thoughts towards them. And you can say all day long with your words that you're proud of them, they can do it, this is awesome, this is great. But if you have any doubt in your mind, that's what will go into their subconscious brain. And that's what they'll start to believe and think.
Right. I love that, especially because I feel that children, especially, you know, before they hit puberty, are so intuitive that you can say something and you can think that you're saying something that are the right words, but they can pick up on your body language, your expression, the tone, the way you're carrying your body so quickly that you can't lie to them. And, you know, I had a great conversation a few weeks back with someone and how we talked about, you know, if your child comes to you and says, "Mama, are you sad?" And you are, and you say no to them, how that's such a damaging thing, because then you're not allowing them to learn what their intuition is saying, right? When they're perceiving the correct thing. And how, if you are sad, acknowledge it, you know?
100%.
And so, same thing with this. If you believe your child can do something, or if you want your child to believe that they can be whatever they want to be, then you need to believe it as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I love it that you said that, Maria, because it is, it's so important that parents are as honest as possible. Now, obviously there are some things that you can't share, no doubt, but that is one of the most important things, that when your children sense things, that you exactly do what you just do and confirm and say, you know, I am sad, but I'm not going to be sad forever. I am sad because something sad happened to me, but it's going to be okay. You know, but you really do need to confirm that they are sensing you correctly, because that's one reason why kids, they get these mixed signals. They don't realize it. And then they start to doubt what they're feeling. So here they might run into some person that might not be such a wonderful, great person, and their intuition and their gut and their body is telling them, hey, this might not be such a great person, but we've desynthesized them and we're teaching them not to go with those gut feelings and that intuition. And that's extremely, extremely important. And I love it that you said that. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, the intuition is such an important part. And I think it ties so much into, you know, mindset and this, you know, concept of, you know, emotional intelligence and children being able to put a name to what it is they're feeling, mm-hmm. right, as an early age. So, you know, even with when we're talking about positive mindset, and, you know, my daughter was in a school play. It was her third year in the play, and she'd always been fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, last year when she started to get to that area where they're more socially aware that people are looking at them and they start to become a little bit more aware of themselves, she said, "You know, Mama, I'm excited for the play, but I'm, you know, when I was practicing the other day, when I was up there, I kind of had to put my hand down on the side because my body was shaking." She's like, I don't know what that is. And my stomach just kind of felt strange. And I said, well, like, she didn't have the word, the language yet, right? So, well, what do you think it felt like? What do you think could make it better? Was it an exciting feeling? Was it not an exciting feeling? And I didn't want to label it as anxiety for her.
Right.
I wanted her to kind of figure out for herself what it was that she was feeling. So then we could move forward from there. So she realized that she was excited and nervous. So we talked about the excitement, and then we talked about the nervous, and then she was, you know, really interested in why her body started to shake, why she had to put her hand down. So we talked a little bit about biology, but I think, you know, this whole concept also of not labeling what they feel right away, right? Because we're so much older that we have in our head, well, that's anxiety, that's this, that's that, where it might not be exactly what they're feeling, and they need to kind of figure out the language for themselves on what it is they're feeling, and then we can help them move forward.
And you know on that, Maria, that this is really awesome, because when most of us live in our comfort zones, I mean, and that's how our brains and our bodies were created, is we want to stay in a comfort zone because that comfort zone makes us safe. And it's really our growth and our success is right outside that comfort zone. So something that's really awesome is when you're having those conversations with your kids and you're helping your daughters identify those feelings. You also want to say, you know, what you're feeling as well is you're stepping out of your comfort zone. And stepping out of your comfort zones can make you feel that way. But we want to always be stepping out of our comfort zones. And it's just one of those things where if, you know, if you're not scared, if you go through your day and you're not doing something that's pushing you or stretching you or challenging you, where you're getting those butterflies, you're really not growing. So even teaching them at that age, when they start to experience it, what they're experiencing, it's like you were saying, some people might term it as anxiety. Some people might term it as excitement, fear, whatever it is, but really it's, they're stepping out of their comfort zones. They're starting to do things that are not comfortable, but they're positive, they're productive, and they're going to end in us being more comfortable stepping out of our comfort zones, which is a great thing for them to learn at any age.
Yeah. And if we try to teach them that that feeling they're having means that they're doing something great, that they're challenging themselves, and perhaps, you know, at 7, 8, 10 years old, they get used to that feeling. And instead of them associating that feeling with the word scared, they, you know, associate that feeling with the word, I'm doing something great, and they'll learn to like it. Right.
Exactly.
Because for me, it was always something when I was younger that was anxiety that I didn't like. And then it was when I became a paramedic, and we would hear the call and we would start to go lights and sirens. It used to flare up this anxiety for me, but I learned to love it because I learned that that meant that I was on my way to go help someone. So it was interesting because I was able to shift that feeling from a lame word. It was just a word. That's from exactly feeling, thinking anxious to a feeling now thinking I'm going to help someone. This is exciting. I was able to switch it for myself. And as an adult, helped me push forward to start going out of my comfort zone even more.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, it's, that's how our mind is so amazing and powerful. And really our subconscious mind is what controls us. You know, people think we are controlled by our conscious mind, but it's the subconscious mind that really controls our lives. So just knowing that everything that our kids see, everything our kids hear is in that subconscious brain of theirs. So that's why it's so important that they listen to good things, that they watch good things. And these video games, you know, I know girls aren't as into the video games as the boys are, but everything that we hear and see and read and experience goes into that subconscious brain. So these are lessons. It can't just be a one time, one and done. These are lessons that you have to teach your kids, specifically girls, because I'll tell you, the interesting thing is science. There's been many studies that have watched girls and boys and followed their self-esteem. And girls and boys have very similar self-esteem until adolescence. And then when the kids hit adolescence, boys' self-esteem continues to gradually go up as a whole, where girls' self-esteem after adolescence starts to level off and even sometimes drop. So it's really, really important that we understand how just committed we have to be as parents of girls to teach and continue to teach these same lessons and skills over and over and over and over and over again, and get our girls involved in activities that they can be surrounded by other good people and other good role models. And interesting enough, in this one study, one of the most important things that a parent could do for a girl around the age of adolescence is have her in organized team sports. And they followed the girls that were in organized team sports, and their self-esteem continued to increase at a very similar pace as the males in that same age frame.
Yeah, I love that. And for years, you know, for those that know my background, I was a photographer for years. And so a lot of my work was based on doing empowerment projects with the preteen and the teen girls. And I followed them with their extracurricular activities. And I found the exact same trend. Mm-hmm. And for me, it didn't even have to be an organized sport, but she had to be very passionate about something. Mm-hmm. She was a dancer, she was an equestrian, she did gymnastics, because while they're very organized sports in their own way, they weren't necessarily team sports. But what I loved was that these girls had such a passion for what they were doing. They were challenging themselves every single day, and they were pushing past fear. They were working towards limiting beliefs. They were working on self-confidence. They were hitting failure. You know, what we say failure, but what I think of as our launching pads for success. Every time they falter on something, then they learn to, let me pivot, let me try this again from a different angle, whether it was a gymnastics move, a dance move, you know, jumping a horse in the ring. And it taught them to push past that, where the girls that were not actively involved in something where they were really passionate about it, they didn't have that. They didn't mm-hmm. have that grit, that drive, that gusto. And to me, it's always been something that was so important for them to, for my girls to fall in love with something. Mm-hmm. And I've always seen it as my job. I have to find something that she loves to do. Right. And we're going to keep looking until we find, you know, whatever it is, because it plays such a huge role in their mindset.
Oh, absolutely. And it, just like you said, it helps them learn confidence. And everything in life is a skill. And we know that everything in life is a skill. Confidence is a skill. Overcoming fear is a skill. You know, all of the things that a person needs to be successful and happy in life, they're skills. And it's a choice that we make. You know, decision, success is a decision. Happiness is a decision. Everything is a decision. And if we can not just teach the skills ourselves, but if our girls are involved in other activities where they're learning those same skills, it just reinforces everything that we're teaching and also everything that they need to learn to have success for their entire life.
Well, thank you so much, Jens. It was so great to have you. I hope our listeners found this topic enlightening and have picked up some new ideas, insights, and tips along the way. I know I've grabbed quite a few today. To find out more about Jens, you can find her at Jens Johnson, JensJohnson.com. To hear the rest of this interview, as we further explore this topic and look at why personal development is critical for mothers, we talk about what a powerful woman is and how to foster a strong work ethic in girls and teach girls to take action in the world to stand up for what they believe in and so much more, please join our community at RaisingAPowerfulGirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at RaisingAPowerfulGirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.